afternoon, and thank you for joining us today to discuss OptimizeRx's fourth quarter ended December 31st, 2017. With us are the company's Chief Executive Officer, Will Febbo, and its Chief Financial Officer, Doug Baker. Following their remarks, we will open the call to your questions. Then before we conclude today's call, I'll provide some important cautions regarding the forward-looking statements made by management during the call. We'd also like to remind everyone that today's call will be recorded and will be made available for telephone replay via instructions in today's press release in the Investors section of the company's website. Now, I'd like to turn the call over to OptimizeRx CEO, Will Febbo. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, Vicki, and good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for joining us for the call today. Well, as you've seen from the press release, during the fourth quarter, we made a lot of progress, both financially and operationally, as we continue to build upon our foundation we've been talking about for the last few quarters. I'm very happy to report, net revenue is up 75% to a record $4 million in Q4, and we maintain a healthy balance sheet with a slight increase in cash from operations. This record performance was driven across the board, from our core solutions of financial messaging to our new brand messaging product that we launched the first quarter of 2017. We also added channel partners and continued to invest in our team to scale our business and expand our digital health platform. We're also developing some exciting new solutions for our clients, which will roll out over the next 6 to 12 months with revenue attached to them. In short, our platform is becoming a very powerful resource for our clients at the point of care when physicians are physically with their patients. I wanted to give you some additional perspective before we get into the numbers with Doug. I'd like to talk a little bit about why our platform of digital health solutions have become valuable to pharma manufacturers, doctors, and patients, and why our opportunity in particular in this space is so large and growing. Let me just pose a question. Can you imagine spending billions of dollars on developing a drug and then not being able to communicate or educate your clients on its clinical benefits and their patients on various adherence methods? This is the predicament in which many pharma companies find themselves today. As we all know, the healthcare market has been undergoing many changes. What most people don't know, however, is it's become increasingly difficult for pharmaceutical companies acting through their sales reps in the field to get in front of physicians they want to reach. In fact, because of the Sunshine Act and similar reporting requirements, more than half the hospitals these days don't let them in the door. Further, nearly 60% of the doctor offices now limit or even ban pharma sales reps or samples they offer. While samples are still important, OptimizeRx Solutions addresses the fact that many healthcare systems and doctors are looking for easier, more effective ways to provide affordable access to medications and improve patient adherence to prescribed medication. This is a huge problem in the space, and our platform squarely addresses it. Physicians are also spending more than 5 hours a day interacting with the electronic health record, the EHR, viewing test results, logging notes, issuing e-prescriptions. In 2017 alone, more than 2 billion e-prescriptions were transmitted from doctor to pharmacy. This amazingly high number reflects how now, about 85% of physicians are using e-prescription as their preferred way to prescribe. In fact, most hospital systems are requiring healthcare providers to use it. The number also reveals how the adoption of e-prescription has accelerated over the last few years and why it's important to recognize that our digital health technology now reaches a very large segment of this market. Of the 2 billion e-prescriptions transmitted annually, 10% of these transactions involve brands with a copay savings program. This means we have the potential to deliver 200 million transactions annually. With the escalating cost of healthcare and the prescriptions specifically being shifted increasingly to patients, copay saving programs will be increasingly in demand. Based on these factors and indicators from our clients, agencies, and partners, we estimate the total available market is worth well north of $1 billion. We also believe that our space, point of care, where the patient and doctor are engaged either directly or in the waiting room, is becoming the most effective way to communicate. As personalized medicine grows in popularity and specialty treatments are more commonly prescribed, digital health platforms like ours will be the greatest enablers for communication between the pharma industry and healthcare professionals. Furthermore, our platform will be viewed as a critical component for improving outcomes and reducing costs throughout the healthcare system, especially when it's estimated that prescription non-compliance costs the U.S. healthcare system more than $100 billion annually. So any way you look at it, our current and in-development solutions are a tremendous market potential, and this being realized more and more every day as we expand our client base and channel reach, and we integrate further within the e-prescription workflow and point of care. Now, before we dive into the operational details of fourth quarter and outlook for the year ahead, I'll turn the call over to our CFO, Doug Baker, who will walk us through the financial details for Q4. Doug?
Thanks, Will, and good afternoon, everyone. Prior to this call, we issued a press release with the results of our fourth quarter ended December 31, 2017. Copy of that release is available in the Investor Relations section of our website. Now, turning to our financial results for the fourth quarter, net revenue increased 75% to a record $4 million from $2.3 million in the same year-ago quarter. The increase is primarily due to revenue from our two core products of financial and brand messaging, coupled with broader distribution with our new channel partners. The launch of new pharmaceutical brands also contributed to the increase. For the full year, net revenue in 2017 increased 56% to a record $12.1 million as compared to $7.8 million in 2016. For the fourth quarter of 2017, operating expenses totaled $2.8 million, which was up from $1.8 million in the same year-ago quarter. The increase was primarily due to additional expenses related to our growth initiatives, including investments in people and related marketing and travel. However, operating expense as a percentage of revenue decreased to 69% as compared to 78% in the same year-ago quarter. For the full year of 2017, operating expenses increased to $8.1 million as compared to $5.9 million in 2016. The increase was primarily due to the aforementioned growth initiatives, which we believe was necessary to continue to scale the business. However, operating expense as a percentage of revenue also decreased for the year, down to 67% as it compared to 76% in 2016. Our net loss for the fourth quarter of 2017 was $200,000 or 1 cent per share as compared to a net loss of $400,000 or 1 cent per share in the same year-ago quarter. The improvement in net loss was primarily due to the increase in revenue and relative decrease in operating expense during the quarter. For the full year, our net loss totaled $2.1 million or 7 cents per share. This compares to a loss of $1.5 million or 5 cents per share in 2016. I wanted to point out one thing that highlights our operating leverage. We generated positive cash flow from operations in the fourth quarter. This is the result of non-cash items included in our net loss that swing it to positive cash flow from operations. While the fourth quarter is usually our strongest cash flow quarter, and we are not yet at a point where this will occur every quarter, it demonstrates we are not burning significant amounts of cash. Given the level of investment we have made, we are very proud of this milestone. Turning to our balance sheet, cash and cash equivalents totaled $5.1 million at December 31st, 2017, up from $5.0 million at September 30, 2017. As mentioned, this increase in cash was primarily due to positive cash flow from operations, and we continue to operate debt-free. That wraps up our financial results. So with that, I'll turn it back over to Will.
Thanks, Doug. While a record top line for the quarter and year was driven by strong growth in our financial and brand messaging products, the expansion into our EHR network also played a major part in generating these results. And it remains the largest of its kind, encompassing now more than 50% of the ambulatory market, or those practices not yet affiliated with a larger hospital system. While the growth in revenue and gross margin was offset by stepped-up investment in our business strategy, it's important to note that our operating expenses as a percentage of revenue decreased markedly in the fourth quarter and for the full year. I'm very proud of these results, and I think they demonstrate the substantial leverage in our operating model that we've spoken to and how it supports greater market reach and revenue growth without lockstep increase in operating costs. So as we grow, we expect our operating expenses as a percentage of revenue to continue to decrease as cash flow from operations strengthens on an annual basis. In all, we believe it creates for OptimizeRx a clear dominant position in the emerging digital health messaging marketplace. In terms of dominant position, we now work with all the top 20 manufacturers, all the leading agencies that advise them on spend, and several more in the top 50 manufacturers. Historically, we've talked about growth in the number of brands we represent, But we're moving away from this metric because it doesn't necessarily correlate to revenue. For example, one brand may be worth $2 million in revenue and another $100,000. But to be sure, so the investors are sure, we are very focused on those brands which have the, excuse me, the longest remaining patent protection, volume, and need for additional market reach. We recorded additional compelling return on investment data for our clients on current brands. We're seeing an average return on investment of 5-1, and this strong ROI data helps encourage the adoption of our cloud-based EHR channels by potential clients. Also supporting our growth is the fact that our platform solves major pain points for the healthcare providers by eliminating the need to manage and store physical drug samples, as well as spending time they don't have with pharma sales reps. As I mentioned earlier, these challenges have led now to nearly 60% of doctors' offices banning or severely limiting access by pharma reps and the samples they offer. OptimizeRx eliminates these problems with a far more convenient and efficient way to allocate, administer, and track copay savings for patients, as well as to gain access to important clinical information. Through the EHR that doctors now use constantly in their workflow, we're effectively reopening critical communications between the doctor and pharmaceutical company. Through this new digital portal, pharma companies can regain critical access to doctors and their patients and provide the information and savings they need and precisely when they need it in and at the point of care and create better healthcare outcomes. During 2017, we continued to build upon this successful approach by introducing our proprietary brand messaging system, which we've spoken about. This system is designed to expand our ability to deliver key clinical messages in addition to financial support. And it also allows us to capture additional budget per brand, per client. We officially launched this system with an EHR channel partner in early 2017, and we plan to roll it out with additional EHRs this year. We expect continued growth in this area and have already recouped our investment from last year. This effort will be supported by strengthened ability to acquire, integrate, and expand into new promotional EHR platforms. In fact, we launched with 5 new EHRs in 2017, which expanded our reach to HCPs by 20%. Further, in just the current quarter alone, Q1 of 2018, we have 3 more EHRs launching. As a result, we have more master service agreements now than ever, and we naturally anticipate revenue from these channels to accelerate in 2018 and beyond. In 2018, we expect a 20 to 30% growth in terms of our reach to HCPs, which are healthcare professionals or doctors, with the additional new EHR partners. This progress and outlook for growth is largely due to the investments we've made in new people and products. Excuse me. This includes our immensely capable new president, Miriam Paramore, who joined us mid last year and who has been focused on expanding our EHR network, adding new solutions, driving scale in our business, both technologically and operationally. She couldn't join us on the call today because she's on the road working. However, I can say she's been executing on all fronts and she's wonderful to work with. I just reviewed our upcoming HIMSS conference meeting schedule, and HIMSS is where all the EHRs go to gather. And we're meeting with the top people of our industry across the board. This is a strong indicator of our elevated profile we have in the marketplace and that our culture of collaboration and transparency are being well received. Also strengthening our positive outlook is our recently expanded exclusive partnership with Allscripts Healthcare, which now includes a variety of other real-time messaging services on Allscripts ambulatory platforms. And at the end of the year, we purchased all of Allscripts' available inventory for its LogRx brand messaging product, as well as its InfoScript messaging service, another form of clinical messaging. We're proud to be connected to Allscripts as they are great people and leaders in the space with recent M&A activity. Brand messaging clearly represents a significant opportunity for us, so we see this activity ramping up more quickly in 2018 with significant revenue generated by this channel. We are also actively engaged in discussions with several other EHRs to integrate our technology into their platforms. In addition, we're working extensively with our existing platforms to always improve and expand their own reach and get to better utilization rates. driven by the launch of additional channels, brands, and products as we continued growth in our nationwide EHR network. We expect to see continued growth in 2018. Always wanting to underpromise and overdeliver, as I've been advised by several smart people, I would be disappointed with only 30% growth in 2018. I see much more room for growth. I want to end there so we can get right to questions. Operator?
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. We'll go first to Eric Martinuzzi with Lake Street.
Thanks, and congratulations on Q4 and a successful 2017. I want to start with your investment for 2018. You talked about you stepped up investment in growth. Could you take us a layer deeper there? What exactly did that stepped up investment focus on?
Hey, Eric, thanks. Good to hear your voice. So mainly it's focused on, if we back up a little bit, in 17, our investment was introducing brand messaging, pretty significant investment, which had a terrific ROI within the year. That has opened up a lot of doors for us into the pharmaceutical companies. And given our expanded reach, we looked at other ways we could find budget, and one of which is focused on clinical content. So we've been working pretty hard on investing in the technology, which allows for delivery of clinical information in just a more sophisticated way. I don't want to get into it too much because all my competition listens to this, but we will talk to the market more as it comes out, and I'm pretty encouraged by it. We also are investing in data analytics behind our reporting around the activity of our brands in the EHR market. I think those two are the biggest investments we're making, and then some operational issues are switching to a cloud-based system off of a server system, and then other sort of operational issues. But those are the top three.
What about the sales team? If I were to look at the sales headcount now versus a year ago, sales count now versus where you expect it to be in a year.
So we have a really solid team. I would say we'll add a few more people through the year. There's a lot of opportunity in the market right now. We don't have someone on the West Coast, and we haven't even touched anyone under the top 50 pharmaceutical companies. So there's opportunity. I would say there's two more people this time next year.
Okay. And then just as I look at the revenue mix, you did just launch the branded offering here in 2017. Where did we finish 2017 as far as financial versus branded, and where do you expect that to go over the course of 2018?
Yeah, so we're not breaking out those revenue lines because what we're really moving towards is a broader messaging platform, and we try to keep that. Partners don't really want it out there, and we're predominantly with one partner with the brand messaging. But suffice it to say, we saw, a greater than 3x increase from 16 to 17 in brand messaging, and we expect that to continue. Financial messaging also returned to positive growth because it had stagnated for 15 and 16. So I think that ROI data really helped late 16 to drive 17, and the sales team has been doing a spectacular job getting the word out. So not really going into detail on the breakout. Suffice it to say, I think we're still very early, and there's a lot of budget to get.
Okay. Last question for me. You did talk about, greater than 30% growth in 2018. Historically, Q1 is a seasonal step down on the top line for you. Last year, you stepped down about 6%. The year before, you were down about 13%. Any kind of expectations heading into 2018? You have ramped up a whole bunch of new EHR partners in 17, but are we looking at, kind of a 5 to 10% potential downtick in revenue here for Q1?
I'm feeling pretty confident about Q1. One of the things that the team has done, and Miriam, with Miriam Charge and a few changes, is they really did a tremendous job in transitioning from end of year to first of January in terms of programs being turned on. It's really a new year for pharma, right? So I think we're going to see less of a dip than we see traditionally. So while people were coming back to work, we were rolling. I think most of the new ads will really kick in Q2, but I don't anticipate any larger of a dip, but there is some seasonality, you're right.
Okay, great. Thanks for answering my questions, and good luck.
Thanks, Eric.
Again, press star 1 to ask a question. And we'll go next to Jamie DeYoung with Goudy Park.
Good afternoon, Will.
Hey, Jamie.
I just had a question for you with respect to Allscripts and TouchWorks. When do you anticipate that you'll be fully rolled out with Allscripts?
So there's several platforms within Allscripts. TouchWorks is the most recent one that really started last year, and it's the area where we have some exclusivity. You know, they've been Allscripts has just been doing a great job as a company and as a partner, and they've gotten very efficient at the adoption with a specialized team focused on that. So that is happening faster than I thought. But I think, you know, these things do take time. The physicians are busy taking care of patients, and this is a technology upgrade. But I would say by Q3, we're going to be, you know, fully functional on TouchWorks.
Is it fair to say that the market opportunity for Optimize just with Allscripts alone is north of $20 million over time?
Yeah, you know, we've shared aspirational numbers, but absolutely, they're now one of the top three EHRs in the country, and we've got a multi-year agreement with them, and certainly their recent acquisition of Practice Fusion will help that. We've worked with both and know the management well. The leverage we didn't have 2 years ago, I feel like we do now. And by what I mean there is we can go to other EHRs like you've seen with Modernizing Medicine and NextGen and bring a better value proposition to them, just more heft and more revenue potential. So I do see it as well north of that as an opportunity with the top three partners we have, yes.
So then suffice to say, I mean, I'm having a little bit of a difficult time doing my model build up to the guidance. So I'm assuming that's conservative, with respect to the numbers that you've provided.
Yes, the wisdom. I think Warren Buffett even said it. You know, under promise, over deliver. So I think it's better to be conservative, though. There are risk factors to this business. Pharma brands can change. We can have FDA issues. So you never want to get too far ahead. But I think if you're building a model, you could be more aggressive, yes.
Okay. So that's just from your installed base. You've got visibility. You don't have to add another EHR to hit those numbers then, if I'm correct. But you plan to add a couple more in the first quarter?
Correct. That's a good assumption.
Okay. And then just with respect to the brands, how many brands did you close the quarter with?
We're over 100. We're just not going to speak to specific numbers anymore because it doesn't tell you anything. You know, we could have added one and it was several million in business or 30, you know, $100,000. So, we are over 100. We'll maintain that. And, we're really looking to expand within the customer base and then go down into the below the top 20.
Okay. And then just lastly for me on the capital structure, given you were cash flow positive in the quarter, it doesn't appear that you're going to need to do any financing with respect to the company. And, is it fair to say even at a higher growth rate, you expect to be cash flow positive for 2018?
Not really. This is still an investment year with building out the team and such, so it's very possible, but it's hard to predict at this year just because there's all sorts of opportunities right now in the market. I think that, as I said in the past, the only reasons why we'd raise capital is if we saw an opportunity to get more channel in an expedited way, because we know we get return on that pretty quickly, and or there was an additional solution or technology which would help us, sort of cement our point of care position. But I anticipate our cash can support my current plan for 18.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks, Jamie.
Again, press star 1 to ask a question. We'll go next to Ron Chez with Private Investor.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Ron, how are you?
Okay, how are you today?
I'm good. This is a good
ought
day.
Ought to be reasonably good for the moment, okay?
I won't get too comfortable.
Beg your pardon?
I won't get too comfortable.
That's very important, as you know. And you mentioned in here something about hospital systems that are not locked in with the EHRs. Are you making any effort? Do you have any plans to go to some of the hospital systems?
Yes, we do. There are certain hospital systems that are very relevant to our clients. We know which ones those are. The difference here is we don't go to Epic or Cerner. We actually go to the hospital system. And so I didn't want to spend a lot of time on that last year or 16 because it's a long sales cycle, very difficult. But as we're getting more scale and a better team, I think we'll have opportunities to chip away at that. So it's probably more of a 19 growth effort, but you need to start. We have already started this year, yes.
Those would be significant penetration. There would be significant incremental revenue.
They would, and they're real valuable to our clients because they just can't get representatives in those. They're really excluded to a high degree. So, yes, incremental revenue relevant to our clients and helps doctors and patients. So it really fits what we're trying to do.
If you've got one, let's say you've got Northwestern, for example, and you were actively engaged with them, do you have any idea how many millions of dollars that would represent?
No, I couldn't go to that specificity at this point.
Okay.
We just know it's a pain point and that our clients are willing to allocate money to it with our core solutions of financial and brand messaging.
And with regard to brand messaging, are you seeing increases? You said you'll stay away from how many pharma clients you have. Are you seeing increases in budgets from the larger pharma customers?
Absolutely. I can share that last year we had two over $1 million clients, and this year we'll have 6. So I think that's a good indication of more budget per brand, more brands per manufacturer. It rolls up nicely.
And that, too, is happening, more brands per manufacturer?
In some cases, in some areas we're very specific to a therapeutic area, so it doesn't just automatically scale. But with our top clients, yes.
One more question for you. You talk about proprietary brand messaging. What is proprietary about your capability?
Well, we built it ourselves, and it has a shared data and technology stack with our financial messaging. So it just gives us that ability to control what happens when and report back to clients in an efficient way. We're not using someone else's platform. We actually built it ourselves last year, launched it, and are using it.
Okay. One more question, please. how much of your effort there is for complementary product capabilities to expand revenue. Additional services,
so part of
products.
Yeah, no, it's a big piece because I can really see we have some real estate that's very valuable, this point of care space, and our clients have a lot of pain on communicating there. So we are actively working on a product which would enable clinical and medical information at point of care, and we're going to be doing a lot of that this year. So that's our biggest effort. And then, as I mentioned in the call, we're also enhancing reporting and analytics so that our clients can better understand the impact of the dollars they're spending with a lot of transparency.
Good job. Continue to stay very uncomfortable, okay?
Thanks, Ron.
Again, press star 1 to ask your question. We'll go next to Harvey Popple with PopTech LP.
Congratulations, Will. It's really gratifying to see not only rapid growth rates, but acceleratingly rapid growth rates. Don't see that very often. Just a few questions, because a lot of them have already been answered. You did announce an initiative to attack the generic drug market. I wondered how that's faring and whether you expect to see much of your growth coming from that.
Thanks, Harvey. Good to hear your voice. Yes, we do have a partnership with a company called Single Care that does enable, with select partners, generic cash savings for the patients. We did generate revenue last year on that. It's the one partnership I'm pretty proud of. I think it's a great company, for one, run by a great person and a great team. But also, it's just an unmet need, and it fits into our value proposition. So I anticipate more revenue from that this year, and we don't break that out. But it was, it was from zero to a significant number in 17.
That's great. Just to further the questions about cash flow and so forth, I respect the fact that you've been making investments in the business. They've obviously been paying off with this accelerating growth, and I assume that we're going to continue to see that in 18. But there must be some light at the end of the tunnel at which you can see the company becoming profitable, either on a GAAP basis or at least cash flow positive. How far out do we have to wait till we see that?
You know, I think last year we talked to a $13, $14 million sort of break-even. Obviously, we increased our costs, and it's probably closer to 16 now. You know, it's a good question, Harvey. Right now, you can see we're mindful of costs, and we don't just do whatever with the money. But there are just so many opportunities to grow. And so we are, with our current plan, you know, I would expect we could get to cash flow break even by the end of the year on a steady basis. But again, if there's opportunities to go after to get even more growth and more reach, I would argue it's well worth it. So sort of a two-sided answer, but that's how I feel.
Okay. And final question, a subject I've asked about before. And that is that the one element that I think is disrupting to investors or potential investors, the strategic and the financial story is splendid, but the ability to trade stock and the liquidity at the level at which the company is traded right now, watching the price of the stock sometimes flip 10 or 15 cents in a day or 10 or 15% in a day, is really off-putting. And can you tell us about what the company plans to do to improve the liquidity situation, improve the uplisting, and so forth?
Yeah, no, it's a good question, and you've been steady in asking it each year. Just so everyone knows, we're completely focused on execution because everything else seems to come a little easier when you have that. So that's priority one. Two, I've got a really great board that is constantly looking at the strategic, you know, importance of those kind of things. And I just feel like we have a lot of momentum, and it is the time to look at all options for the company. And so pretty excited about the team, revenue. I do know that, you know, like you, people can still build a position on the OTC. But I agree with your critique that it, from a strategic level, from an M&A level, it makes it more difficult. So we are looking at it. We're looking at everything. And, you know, there's luxury. The strategy is the luxury of hitting your numbers. So we have that luxury right now.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Good luck.
Thanks, Harvey. Appreciate the support.
Again, press star 1 to ask a question. We'll go next to David Harrell with Optimize Rx.
Hi, Will. Congrats on a great quarter.
Hey, David.
And I found it was really interesting that Novartis spent almost $2 billion on acquiring Flatiron, which is an EHR for oncologists, which is a fantastic space. But they quoted the fact that one of the things they found most valuable was it gave them, excuse me, an opportunity to reach their customers. And looking at Optimize Rx and our ability to do that not only in one EHR, but across a 300 EHR platform, I would imagine that, you know, it's good to see that pharma is really recognizing that. And so whether it's pharma or a marketing communications company, I would imagine that as we continue to grow, some eyeballs will be looking at us. Do you have any comments on that?
Yeah, Dave, it's interesting. The space is incredibly interesting right now. So that was a pretty bold move. Clearly, they see the ability to use that platform to accelerate clinical trial recruitment and design and execution. I think others have invested in the space. You see people putting money into the EHR space like Orbit Pincus and Modernizing Medicine. You see Allscripts starting to acquire some other assets from McKesson and Practice Fusion. You've seen a lot of investment dollars at a strategic VC and startup level. What makes me feel good is we're a real business that's growing, and we're right in the mix. And I think if I look back 2 years, I think we've made some nice progress in sort of getting a seat at the table. And so, yeah, I was very excited about that.
At this time, this concludes our question and answer session. I would now like to turn the call back over to Mr. Febbo. Sir, please proceed.
Thanks, Vicki. Let me just wrap up with a couple additional comments. Clearly, we are enjoying a huge opportunity in this emerging digital health messaging marketplace at point of care. And by most measures, it's worth over $1 billion. Our solutions are increasingly embedded into the workflow of physicians, along with transparency, compliance, accuracy, and a strong customer return on investment. But the true beneficiaries being the thousands of patients who receive financial assistance, they gain better adherence, and therefore healthcare outcomes improve. The breadth of products and brands we offer through our network, our extensive relationships with pharmaceutical companies, major EHRs, and the vast reach of our network all work together really well to provide us a substantial competitive advantage and a dominant position. And moreover, we now have, I believe, the best team to build on this advantage. I can't say enough about our current team. I'm very thankful. So with that, I look forward to talking to you in the future and reporting on our progress. I'll see many of you out at Roth. Meanwhile, please always feel free to reach out and give me a call anytime. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Now, before we conclude today's call, I would like to provide the company's safe harbor statement that includes important cautions regarding forward-looking statements made during today's call. Statements made by management during today's call may contain forward-looking statements within the definition of Section 27A in the Securities Act of 1933, as amended, and Section 21E of the Securities Act of 1934, as amended. These forward-looking statements should not be used to make an investment decision. The words anticipate, estimate, expect, possible, and seeking, and similar expressions identify forward-looking statements, and they speak only to date the statements was made. Examples of such forward-looking statements in this presentation include statements regarding the company's expectations that its distribution of financial messages will continue to increase, brand messaging will continue to support top-line growth, margins will increase, ROI data will help encourage the adoption of the company's cloud-based EHR channels by potential clients, further improvements in cost of sales percentage in future quarters, operating expense as a percentage of revenue to continue to decrease, continued growth in 2018, and the company's estimation of the total available market. The company undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statements, whether because of new information, future events, or otherwise. Forward-looking statements are inherently subject to risks and uncertainties, some of which cannot be predicted or quantified. Future events and actual results could differ materially from those set forth in, contemplated by, or underlying forward-looking statements. Risks and uncertainties to which forward-looking statements are subject and could affect our business and financial results are included in the company's annual report on Form 10-K for the fiscal year ended December 31, 2017. This form is available on the company's website and on the SEC website at sec.gov. Before we end today's conference, I would like to remind everyone that this call will be available for replay starting later this evening through March 20th. Please refer to today's press release for dial-in replay instructions available via the company's website at optimizerx.com. Thank you for joining us today. This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.